This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We all love to treat ourselves every now and then, right? Like go out and buy a nice coffee, maybe get a little extra legroom on the plane. Then why are we always settling for doctors? Your health is the most important thing. That's where ZocDoc comes in. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. You know how I feel about making phone calls, and that is why I discovered ZocDoc many years ago before I even had a podcast. And so I'm thrilled. This feels very full circle. I use ZocDoc all the time in LA. I still use them here in Cincinnati. It's just such a cool service to be able to put in your insurance and find a doctor for whatever your ailment might be. I actually found an ENT doctor once when I had this sinus infection, probably TMI. But anyway, I love ZocDoc. I've loved it for years. And the typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's how easy it is. Sometimes they even have same day appointments. I know I've gotten some in the past. Go to ZocDoc.com/drink and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/drink. ZocDoc.com/drink.
Nice. Wow. That's so nice.
I don't know.
Welcome to the podcast, and that's why we drink, where we talk about dogs in baby voices.
And how nice they are. Baby handsome boy. Is that so special? All those belly rubs?
I have a surprise for you.
Oh, good. I have a surprise for you, too.
Do you really?
Yours is probably better.
Do you want to do yours first, then?
No, please do yours first.
You want me to blow you out of the water first?
Oh, fuck. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I need you
What do you mean?
I need you to close your eyes, and I want Eva to videotape
you
this.
You told Eva to bring her phone. I didn't. I took my bra off, so sorry.
I just want Eva. I just know you're going to wish that you had this on tape.
All right. Should I take my glasses off? Oh, I mean, now I'm being vain, and it's not working. Nothing worse than trying to be vain, and it's just not successful.
Okay, just close your eyes.
Okay, okay.
Okay.
So I went home,
mm-hmm.
and while I was home for the wedding,
oh, right.
I went through my stuff, and I found something.
Oh, for God's sake.
And so you may open your eyes. I found my clown nose.
My God, M! That's your original clown nose.
This is the original.
That's the original fucking...
2006, baby.
That's, like, real.
Look at his nostrils.
Ah! Ew! Why? Why the hell does it have nostrils?
You so I can like, breathe.
You look like a serial killer.
Okay, well, that's not the reaction I was expecting.
Sorry.
But thank you.
I love it. It's beautiful. You look so handsome.
But it's still fits like a glove.
It actually is so weird how it fits your... Instead of those big...
It's a custom-made nose. I didn't just buy this from a costume shop.
Wait, they like mold your nose like a retainer, but for your nose.
Like they size your nose and figure out what's good for your face shape. That's all. That's all I wanted, Eva. I just wanted her to have that for the rest of her life documented.
I don't know what to do with this.
So for the rest of the episode, I was thinking I'd just go clown nose on you.
Can you squeak it?
No.
Oh.
You can only do that to the uniform, the shirt. Yeah. You want to touch it? You want to touch it?
Nope. That is so bananas. It looks like your nose.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the big round ones.
No, they're never actually the big round one. Those are just like the ones that it's a stigma that we're trying to break, actually. So.
Oh, oops. Your shirt doesn't help. Your like weird jersey.
My own clown uniform.
That is.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm glad it still exists. And I'm glad you didn't throw it away. I would have been worried you would have thrown
it
away.
It's starting to disintegrate, though, which is.
No.
Because I mean, it's just a thin piece of like silicone. So it's like breaking down after like more than a decade. So if you like. Look at it, it's starting to like stretch out and it doesn't have the same shine it used to, you know? It used to be polished.
You gotta just.
And now it's just a matte nose. You know what I'm saying?
You just got to put some WD-40, shine that thing up.
I'm wearing a clown nose, I'm drinking my LaCroix. It's a very LA kind of day.
We're in a very weird place in our lives.
What's my surprise?
Okay, here we go. My dad was here yesterday.
He was?
Yeah, he was here for 2 days. Did I not tell you that?
Nope.
So he was here kind of randomly for 2 days. Hi, Dad.
Is that why your whole house is clean?
No, but that's because my mom was here for a week.
Oh.
And she planted a whole bunch of things in the backyard and set up my whole house. And Tim cleaned every single window in my house.
What a gem and genius and gentleman.
You sounded like...
The triple G.
You sounded like when you hold down a key on a keyboard for a really long time and it goes like...
I am Microsoft Sam, actually.
You're Clippy. Okay, so my dad was in town yesterday, and I wanted him to come say hi and leave you a little message. So I'm going to play it for you, and I want you to kind of just, like, listen and say whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
So here's a little message. Can you say testing, testing?
Testing, testing, testing.
You talk into the microphone.
You talk into the microphone.
You talk into the microphone.
I talk there into the microphone.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. I'm here with the world famous slag pot expert, Bernie Sheehan. Hi, Dad. How are you doing?
Oh, so far so good.
Yeah. Thanks for dinner.
You're so welcome. My pleasure.
So we just wanted to surprise Em and say hi, and... I didn't even bring it up, but my dad bought Em a couple little gifts.
What?
Little German-themed gifts.
Oh, here it is.
German soccer-themed.
What?
So I'm going to give those to Em on the episode.
Here it is. It's a black soccer rubber duck.
Don't get to meet until my wedding, basically.
I know it's to surprise Em, but the first thing I need to say is you for sure surprised me. Because,
yes, that's what I do. You're
welcome.
I end
up in that, and that's why we drink... studio.
Yeah.
Somebody who never drank a drop of alcohol in his life. And I still feel that this, and that's why we drink podcast is just a slap in my face.
We were talking about what song to do as our father-daughter dance.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Have you had any thoughts? Because I listened to about 30 songs today and none of them felt right.
Yeah, no, I'm not into dancing, as you know.
Oh, come on. You did, like, the freaking, waltz at your wedding? crazy-ass waltz. Yeah, and then my mom did the Austrian waltz.
You should do what your dad did and practice for 8 weeks
in an 8-week studio. And I'm like, do you think Blaze looks like the type who's going to waltz with me?
Yes.
No, and they kicked me out after 3 weeks.
They actually did kick him out.
Why?
What's the name? Arthur Murray.
Arthur Miller or Murray?
I was just dismissed. Paid for 6 sessions.
People, and they kicked him out.
Yeah, they did.
Legitimately.
After 3, and said I would never be able to handle that, and I fear that with Blaze, it would take probably only 1 lesson.
But Dad, here's what you don't understand. That is a you're kicking out after 3 weeks. It's the perfect beginning to a movie where you come back, and you show them how well you can dance. You know what I mean? Like, they kick you out of the dance studio.
Thank you. Every dance
you
movie.
The streets, and then you come back.
He was just like, what the fuck is going on?
And everyone is so impressed, and you win a bunch of awards.
I was doing it, but right at the time when I wanted to show everybody, I think I stepped on Elle's train, or what's the name of this thing?
Oh, no.
I did.
Oh, no.
I did.
Her train of her wedding gown?
That's
he did that.
Oh, dear.
I think she almost fell down, but...
Well, anyway, thank you for joining us. I also just want to have one last thing. Do you have anything to say to Em? Since you're sitting in Em's current chair right now.
Oh, yeah, that's
you're
right.
You're sitting what in Em's honor. Chair. What an honor. You're sitting in the throne.
No,
really.
What an honor for Em. I want to say hello, Em, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you in
did
October,
you know
Em right?
is officiating the wedding?
Right.
Yes, okay.
Officiating, and I think there will be no booze or anything.
We'll all be very sober.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I think LOL. That the gift, I brought that little gift, or one of the little gifts, is that little black magic duck.
It's, a, right?
it's so cool.
It's a magic duck
from Germany. And I thought I heard you guys quacking on the air.
That's like, mean.
Quack, quack, quack. And I thought this is the perfect gift, you know?
He nailed it.
What reminds me of Em? A duck.
He nailed it.
That's nice. It's very kind. A magical duck, though.
A magical duck. I think it will change its colors.
Yeah, it does.
I'm going to like it, I think.
When you take a bath or whatever. Yeah. I don't know how that
when I take
works.
A bath and my duck from
we'll
Bernie Schieffer.
Nice
yeah, that's fine. But anyhow, no, I'm No kidding. So I'm
really y'all. Eva just hears us and not my dad's talking. Dad talking. So
piece she of just, my mind. She just regarding hears the F words.
Oh,
what's we're getting yelled at. We're getting yelled at about cursing.
Well, hold on.
It's how do you say that? I don't get the proper English right now for this thing here. That it's just the amount of F words. Uh-huh. It's just
fully
astonishing.
Appropriate.
It's
for the year we live in and for the, year, the society we are surrounded by.
That
as far as I'm
he's
concerned,
he's trying so hard.
I won't let him have it. Yeah, it up there.
That's true, except there's no.
I don't think that I need to hold up any sort of decency for anybody that that we talk about, especially because most of them are murderers.
Oh,
I don't find them to have valid. Any sort of you know, need for decency. But you know, to each his own. Whatever floats your boat. Different strokes, different folks. Somehow my dad still listens to the first 10 minutes of the show every week, and that's it.
That's right, to find out what you guys are doing.
Yeah, to figure out if I've moved to a new house or not.
Like, I found that out.
Gotten
by
a new pet.
That's
you found out about the cat. Yeah.
And I found out that you get married. I find out all these things by listening to
he's
that.
He's calling you out, Christine.
It's unbelievable how helpful this
you're
thing
welcome.
Is.
You're welcome. It's like a newsletter to my family.
Yeah. It's like a Christmas card every week.
Thank you for joining us. Obnoxious on our little fireside chat.
Thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure. Off to Canada.
Wait. That's right. And M's favorite country is Canada. Oh, so
I'm very jealous of him.
You know that your great uncle, my uncle, was Canadian. You don't know that.
No, I don't. I don't know that. I don't
like how he goes, you don't know that.
M, I'm Canadian. Enough. Suck it.
Huh. Yeah.
How does it feel to give M his gifts now? So,
okie dokie.
Here you go. Okay. Bye,
love
Daddy.
You.
Love
bye
you.
Bye.
Okay. So.
So wait a minute. You're Canadian.
Apparently I'm Canadian. I don't know.
Amazing.
Oh, Eva missed all this. My dad just revealed to me that my great uncle is Canadian.
My great uncle was George Burns. So.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. And his wife was Grace Young. So my aunt.
I don't know who. I don't know. I don't think I know who that is.
From the George Burns and Grace Young show.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh my God. Who is this related to?
My great uncle.
Holy shit. Well,
he went to my mom's high school graduation.
Oh my God.
He fell asleep at the table.
That's me as an old person. My dad got you this weird duck that's like the Borussia Dortmund soccer team duck.
It starts out black and then it is like heat sensitive.
Yeah,
and when you touch it, it becomes yellow.
If you put it in the bathtub, it becomes yellow.
A little yellow rubber ducky. Yeah, I tried reading the box at first. But it's in German. Mm. So I really had to figure this one out on my own.
I think you did a great job. Also, sorry that was so long. I skipped to the end at the end there. But
you're fine. Your dad was so nice.
He was nice until he was just like denying any culpability about
right.
Mr.
He didn't want
Chatfield.
You to be right. He didn't want you to be
no,
right.
No, he didn't. And he's the one who tells me about Mr. Chatfield. So he didn't want me to put him on the spot, I guess. But that's the story. That's who. That's the man, the legend, the myth. You know, whatever order that's supposed to go in. Anyway,
loved it.
How are you? Why do you drink this week? What's up?
I drink because I had a dream. I guess more of a creepy dream.
Oh God,
that was my nose, by the way. My nose.
I don't like that. It sounds like a dog with allergies.
My nose is itchy, but I can't scratch it.
Take that thing off.
I had a dream that I was in a. That I was reaching my hand into a freezer.
Oh, God.
But I couldn't see into the back of the freezer. It was like a void. And so I stuck my hand in there, and then I felt someone else grab my hand from the other side. And then as if they were, like, successfully pulling me in, I felt them grab my arm, like, further and further and pull me further and further in. And I could feel my body lifting in the dream. Like, I could feel my body actually getting pulled
up. Pulling you into it?
And pulling and pulling and pulling until they got to my shirt, and then they were, like, pulling near my neck. And then I woke up, and I was actually sitting up in bed, which was just the creepiest.
Ew! Then M peels his fucking nose off.
And then I peeled my claw nose off.
That's so gross. Wait, you were sitting up in bed?
Yes.
That's not okay.
In the middle of the night, and this was the first night in a while that Allison hasn't spent the night.
I just got, like, full body chills.
I was, like... of course it was 3 a.m.
Of course it was.
And Allison wasn't there, and it was just very frightening, so all I had to do was go back to bed. So
Lord.
Wasn't fun. So that happened. And then Eva made a good point of, like, you said something about, like, you would have just woken up and, like, move into another room. Or, like, left and, like, gone to, like, the couch outside. I couldn't do that either because one of the other main reasons that I drink this week is because we now have a homeless woman.
What?
That bangs on my door at...
What?
Last night was the second time this has happened. She aggressively... Like, not like...
What?
Like, basically, like, how Tamara from The Strangers would knock on a door. Like, I'm gonna...
Oh, your worst nightmare. Great.
Like, she literally, like... She went... Like, bang knocking. And... But, like, that was, like, a lot more quiet. Like, it, like, was joltingly loud and alarming.
She just does it on your front door?
Well, she did it, and at the first time, Allison was over, and nobody else was home, so you're like, oh, maybe it's one of the roommates, and they can't get in the house, and it was, like, you know, that tune where, yeah, like, everyone
where it's
does.
Like, it's me, right? Mm-hmm.
And so we looked out the window, because it was, no one had ever knocked on the door like that before, so we were like, we don't know who it is, and Allison was like, don't open the door, because
good,
it sounded... Good,
because she usually is the one who opens the door.
So then she looked out the eye hole, and it looked like it was our roommate, Christine, and since it looked kind of like the silhouette of Christine, Allison opens the door.
No,
speaking
Allison,
of which,
no.
Classic Allison. Because I said, I can't tell who that is. And then she was like, it looks like Christine. And then opens the door.
Oh, no.
And this homeless woman is like, hello, I am a homeless woman. Can I please steal your towel that's on the porch to sleep on the ground with? Because we have a camp chair and a towel outside on the
sure.
porch. And we were like, yeah, do you want to take the chair, too? Like, just get off the... Just get away.
I mean, it's nice,
like,
that she asked instead of just stealing your towel.
Yeah, so it's like
still.
It's like still jarring. Yeah. I'm like, I wish you kind of just stole the towel.
Just so, take the towel.
But so you're like, oh, well, you can have the chair too, like if you want like a chair to sleep on,
sure.
so you're not sleeping on the ground. And she was like, no, thank you, I don't want the chair. And then she was like, I'm going to take your towel now, and then grabbed the towel and then left. But she just did it so alarmingly, and also not only that, but the screen window to the front of the house has looked like it has been tampered with and someone tried to get in.
No.
And someone has been ripping open our packages.
No.
So like now I have to get everything shipped to work. But like someone has been going through all of our stuff and like tearing apart the package and like messing around with what's going on in the boxes.
They touch your fucking HelloFresh, I swear to God.
But so like that plus that plus that, I was just like really...
And then you wake up
jolted.
Sitting up in bed at night.
Yeah,
no.
And then yeah, exactly. So I was like, no. I don't want to be on the couch because the homeless woman might look through the window. Because we have like those weird blinds that like you can still kind of
see
through.
Nope. No.
I was like,
no.
I don't want to sleep in the living room, and I don't want to be in my room. It was just a very
abso-fucking-lutely not
jarring night. Anyway, why do you drink?
Oh my God, I drink because every member of my family has been here in the last 4 weeks, and it's been really awesome. And honestly, they've helped me out a lot, but. It's been really hot. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of people in my house.
Ugh, yeah.
Gio hurt his paw. Aww. I'm just really tired always.
Right.
I just am so tired.
Well, Gio does look so handsome without his cone of shame.
I know. He's very...
He's so really, happy.
Well, the day that he could finally run again, he just... My sister walked outside and he just ran around her for like 40 minutes and we just all stood there and watched. And he just like ran and ran and ran until he tired himself out. So he's much better. Well, I also drink because, like, real soon is my bachelorette party.
Yes.
Everyone in this room is going except Gio.
Well, Gio's not going.
Gio's not going, yeah. But it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. I'm planning it, so
Em's planning
it's going to be fun.
So better view. No, Em's planning it, so I know it's going to be fun. Hats off to Em, Allison, to everybody else who's helped out to... Blaze's Aunt Lisa, who like hooked us up with nice rooms, and apparently we're going to the Chippendales, which I'm just trying not to think about because it just gives me so much anxiety, but it'll be fun. And then we're going to freaking Nashville.
Yes.
The week after.
Oh boy.
So we're just kind of dragging Eva all over the place.
You poor Eva. This is your life now. You get to go to bachelorette parties in Nashville. So.
Oops. Anyway, so that's what I got for you.
Okay.
But you guys, we released a couple more VIP tickets for Nashville. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, please go check it out. There's a few left. Also some left for our Hollywood show in September and DC.
Yep.
Okay.
Eva, do you have a reason you drink or no?
I'm gonna just reiterate that it's been too hot.
So hot.
It's been so hot.
Like 115 the other day.
It's been at my work. I work out in the valley. And I got in my car and it said 121. And it was just
stupid.
It was like so hot it was cold. That's, I like, couldn't there was figure a day. It out. Yeah, well, I was like, yeah, like heat goosebumps.
There was a day where I started shivering and I realized I'd walked 2 miles and it was 116 out. And I was like, I'm cold. And I was like, that's not good because that means I'm probably going to die. And so I forced myself to go drink water. But man, it has been rough. And I know a lot of people in the whole world who are listening to this are like, yeah, we know we're also doing that. So props to you and everyone. And
everyone's going to say, well, at least it's a dry heat. You don't have to deal with humidity, which is true.
We've dealt with that too.
But also we live out in the desert. So.
But also we live in LA and we like to complain. So just let us do it.
Thank we you. Got a podcast because we wanted to complain. So if you're going to complain that we're complaining too much, then you can complain to someone else.
Elsewhere on your own podcast.
This is a place where everyone gets to complain and no one gets to complain about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Oh, that's all I want in life.
Okay, cool.
Tell me a ghost story.
Okay.
Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub and Leona and I planted it together and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast. And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Pull it out of your pocket.
I have man pockets, so like they could have just ran away. It's like so deep down there.
They're in the abyss.
I really put my whole hand in the pocket and I was like, I can't find them. And I had to go even further into the pocket.
I had to keep digging.
All right.
Hair, sorry.
You look marvelous, darling.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. This is one I started a while ago, like probably a couple months ago, and I just never got back. I moved on, and now I'm moving back.
Intriguing.
I'm back on my bullshit.
It's like that ex you never forgot about.
Who?
I don't know. The ex that was a ghost story. I don't know. Just go with it. It's too hot to think straight.
It is really hot, and we have to do a whole episode.
Sorry. Are you okay over there?
Yeah, the fan was blowing the notes everywhere.
Do you want me to turn it down?
No, it's too... Oh. No.
Okay.
No, we're going to make that work. Okay, so this is in Savannah, Georgia.
Mm.
This is in a town in Savannah called Old Fort.
Listen, I love Savannah, Georgia.
Me too.
Beautiful.
And the place is called the Pirate House.
Never heard of it.
Okay, cool. Me either. I almost just ate the microphone. My face is so close. Okay. So the Pirate House is a tavern restaurant.
Love it already.
It is one block from the Savannah River on East Broad Street, in case anyone wants to go there.
I do.
Okay. Maybe another time. It was built in 1753, which makes it the oldest building in Savannah. However, it was addressed to me in my notes via Google that although it is modern day, it still has the feel of the 1800s.
Aww.
Which I enjoy.
I feel like that's cool, yeah.
So it started out as one house that was called the Herb House because there people were doing a lot of gardening on the land originally. They made an herb house, ended up not really working out as an herb house. They kept building additions to it, and it eventually turned into a restaurant.
Okay.
So because they connected so many small additions onto this one small house, it turned into a big restaurant. And so there are supposedly 15 different separate dining rooms on the first floor because they just kept connecting buildings and buildings. And so it just expanded into this big dining room.
But instead of one big, it's just 15 separate.
Yeah, like all the walls come from different houses, apparently.
Okay.
So the first floor is the tavern, and the second floor was the inn where people spent the night. It also, in my notes, said where men spent the night, which makes me think women weren't welcome in inns unless it was like a brothel or something.
Yeah, that was my first thought, but I don't know.
I don't know. That was what Google said, so don't get mad at me.
Okay, I'll try.
So there's a stairway, clearly, which leads from the first floor to the second floor. People cannot fly, so they needed stairs, so there are stairs.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that explanation.
You're welcome. For many decades since the 1920s and then for many decades after that, there was a jazz bar on the second floor called the Hard Hearted Hannah's.
That's fun.
Which was upstairs, and the upstairs now is blocked off from guests. It is used for storage. In the basement, there was a brick tunnel, which was big enough to drive a bus through, apparently.
What?
That was the proportions the big selling I got. Point. It's like you could drive a bus through there in the 1750s.
A bus was just a horse.
Yeah, you could drive 100 horses through there. The tunnel, however, is now bricked over at both ends, so you can't actually go through the tunnel at all.
Oh.
But it's rumored at one point to have hid dead bodies during the yellow fever epidemic from the public.
Oh, good.
And it was rumored to be one of the hideouts during the Underground Railroad.
Oh, shit. That's pretty cool.
The tunnel was originally used, your favorite, as a rum cellar.
That and the underground. I mean, I'm not going to say I like the rum more than the...
Than Harriet Tubman.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not going to say that.
You would like having rum
I
with Harriet
like
Tubman.
They're a good pairing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. You can always pair Harriet Tubman with some good
booze.
Rum.
Yeah, agreed.
And so it was a rum cellar, but it was also used by outlaw privateers to smuggle liquor into the city.
Oh, but I like that too, so add that.
Okay.
So like a triple thing. Triple threat.
Triple threat,
sure.
Like you're... In the Venn diagram middle of, like, Harriet Tubman.
Sure.
And she privateers got smuggling in liquor.
Yep. And then rum is over there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so, you are the rum, I think. You're just swimming in it in the middle of the Venn diagram.
I'm just in the middle of the rum pool.
Yeah. Okay, you
got it.
So the house...
Oh, my God. A rum diagram. Just kidding. I'm sorry. That wasn't funny.
A Venn diagram.
Ah, that's it. I'm sorry. You win. Okay.
So the... Even though it's called the Pirate's House, it should be called the Privateer's House, because once it was built, pirates had actually already been chased out of the area by the British Navy.
Mm.
So no pirates were ever there. It was like the pirates, I guess, had already moved to less civilized waters such as India.
Oh, sure.
And it should have been called the Privateer's House because privateers were regularly staying there, and it was an inn and tavern that says it was meant for merchants and sailors, but it was mainly privateers who went there. And privateers were actually worse than pirates because the privateers were basically legal pirates.
Oh.
So with the English government giving them permission, they were allowed to raid ships, kill the crew, sell the ship, and then give a percentage
what?
To the government.
This was legal.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So there was one French privateer named Jean Lafitte.
Mm. I've heard of that guy.
Have you?
Yeah, but I think it was literally in Savannah.
Oh, weird.
On like a tour or something.
Well, he had a deal with the British. He was one of the French privateers that was allowed to do this for the British, which was kind of unheard of at the time,
right?
I think. I'm not too sure. I think Don't quote me on that.
I don't know either, to be honest.
But so he was one of the people who was regularly at the inn. So they think one of the spirits might be him because he was there so often. Because it was also an inn, so he stayed there for weeks at a time.
Right.
He also did so well at being a privateer and helping out the British government that he ended up earning his own home in New Orleans that was apparently so fantastical that Robert Louis Stevenson was inspired by that house and wrote a segment of his novel on it in Treasure Island. So his house, the house was somehow a inspiration for Treasure
Island. Holy shit.
He also based some of the characters of Treasure Island on the privateers that would come in and out of the pirate house, including Captain Flint.
No way.
So Flint died of drinking too much alcohol in the story, and he died while shouting out, "Darby McGraw, fetch the rum." Ironically, there is a spirit who is nicknamed Captain Flint, and there have been reports of people hearing someone moaning for more rum. That is Christine's ghost in the future.
That's just me sleeping.
Imagine if your future ghost haunted your present.
We've talked about this. Remember?
I know. We've talked about it a lot.
If we were dead.
I think about it a lot.
And we haunt ourselves.
Well, my thought is always like when you get like those gut feelings that you shouldn't do something, I always think that it's actually my future ghost coming and like
punching me in the gut. Future ghost is like, whatever, I'm already dead. I don't care about my live self.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I feel like my future self would want to fuck with my current self. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I mean, I know I would want to fuck with myself somehow. And if time travel's involved, I'm gonna do it.
I mean, I would want to fuck with you as a dead ghost.
Thank you.
I don't mean it in that way.
I mean, no matter what, thank you. No matter what, it's a compliment.
I want to... Oh, God.
You want to fuck with me. It's fine.
It's too hot.
Everyone ship it. No.
It's too hot.
Okay. So
it's so hot that your stupid duck won't turn back to black. It's stuck at yellow or it's stuck at weird, dirty, gross green.
You can text your dad all about that and be like, the duck is doing fine out of water.
We're not doing fine, but the duck is.
So like I said, the privateers, they had a quote letter of marque, which granted them legal right to raid ships and then kill the people on the ships and then sell the ships.
Oh, cute.
For a profit.
Really great.
So the pirate house was seen as a place that most citizens were afraid to go to because, not just because of the dangerous people who were there, but what the dangerous people would do to them if they went into the tavern.
Okay.
So, like I said, it was mainly English and French privateers that would come in here, and they were very violent men, and they thought they were above the law because technically they were. And there were privateer captains who they had trouble recruiting privateers because it was such a dangerous job that they regularly needed to force people to join their little groups. So there was this practice called crew impressment.
Oh, God.
Where innocent people like you or me could go into the bar if you're just like a citizen of Savannah and want to get a drink. They were always at risk because if they drank too much... Then they could end up getting drugged or knocked on the head and go unconscious. Basically, they would also try to get people drunk, like, oh, let's play a drinking game and get them really drunk and then
or
make
like
them unconscious
roofie them or, something.
Or roofie them. And they would wake up on a ship hundreds of miles offshore.
What the fuck? Would
find out that they had been shanghaied. And
oh, my God.
They would be sold to captains for an average of $13. And
what
then
the fuck?
And then they were forced to work on the ship or else they would be thrown overboard.
What?
So there's stories
they
of like...
They just wanted to go get a fucking rum and coke. And then all of a sudden...
They wanted their Venn diagram.
They just...
And look where they ended up.
So stupid.
There's one story of a cop from Savannah who went in to get a drink.
Uh-huh.
And he ended up waking up in China... And they forced him to work for 2 years before he found his way back to Savannah.
As a cop? How scary is that? Jesus.
Well, he was a cop and was like, this is illegal. And they were like, well...
They're like, great, you're in China now. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And also, we're above the law. And also, there's more of us. And also, there's the plank. You can walk it if you don't want to work for us for 2 years.
Jeez, that is horrifying.
The basement with the tunnel that is now blocked up, although it was supposed to be a rum cellar, it was used to transport these men while they were unconscious... to waiting ships in need of sailors.
Oh my gosh, they would just take, like...
They would just bring them downstairs, just drag their unconscious bodies downstairs, and then get them on a ship and sell them off while they're still unconscious. And then when they wake up, they've already been sold...
Jesus.
...to a captain, and now they're a privateer.
How fucked up, dude.
So the French privateers, there were two French ships that were in town one night that came to port, and on the way to rob South America, you know how that is.
Yeah, God, if I haven't been there a million times.
And while they were there, they tried to recruit or impress some American citizens.
Sure.
And two American sailors were pissed about that, and it led to some friction between the two groups, and basically they all got in a knife fight, and two American sailors and one French sailor died.
Fuck.
On the property. So there's that. This place is also considered a house museum by the American Museum Society and is also still on some of the best restaurant lists in Savannah.
Oh, that's good.
So that's nice.
It saved some of its grandeur, I guess.
So I'm just gonna go through the ghost stuff.
Yeah, please.
It's not a lot. This was a quick one, but a good one, I think.
It's good. It's good.
I apologize. It's not mine's as
pretty,
lengthy.
Mine's pretty long, so.
You know, I feel like we always do that where I'm like, Christine, I'm sorry, the story isn't very long. And you're like, good, because I got a fucking novel.
Because I wasn't going to say anything, but I'm glad you did.
Okay, so here's the ghost stuff.
Okay.
There is drunk, joyful laughter heard from the second floor.
Oh, that's just me.
That's Christine.
There I am. Hello.
Employees see apparitions of ghosts walking through the upstairs, like into all the different rooms.
Good.
When the upstairs was used as a jazz club, apparently the coffee pot would throw itself against the wall.
Oh.
With or without hot coffee.
Someone doesn't.
So sometimes you just had to dodge it.
Someone does not like jazz music.
That was me. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I just never got into it.
I'm sorry. La La Land? You didn't watch that?
No comment. On the second floor and the basement, there is a scar-faced ghost of a rough privateer. And that's the one nicknamed Captain Flint.
A rough privateer.
A rough one. Rough. As opposed to the softies.
The smooth ones.
Flint, as they call him, roams the walled-off tunnel and has been seen walking into the tunnel. Like, walking into the wall.
Oh, to the blocked-off.
Yeah. On the first floor, there is a strange presence that has been felt on the stairs. There has been an apparition of an angry man dressed in 18th century seaman garb. And he is seen walking through the dining rooms in the kitchen. He has an intimidating bully vibe.
What a jerk.
And he has... this one's kind of wild. The cook apparently saw him from across the room, like a rom-com. He walked up to the cook when he was noticed. Walked up to him.
Oh no.
Glared at him nose to nose in the face. And then he turned to leave, and he faded away as he left. But the cook... I guess he was wearing like a long jacket, this angry ghost. He's wearing a long jacket. As he turned, his coattails hit the cook, and the cook could feel the coattails hit him.
Ew.
Like it was like a hard, leathery coattail that hit him that swung when the guy turned.
That's fucked up.
And then the ghost faded away. So like for a second, he was like, that thing was as real.
It was
real
like physically in front of me.
Yeah. In dining rooms, the place settings rearrange themselves after people leave for the night. A cop went down to the basement and saw, this is a good one.
Oh,
we'll never hear this again. The cop went down to the basement and saw ghosts of men carrying a drunk ghost man.
And somehow the ghost world was like, we need to imprint this.
Imagine
on the real
like
world.
Being drunk for eternity. Okay, don't think about that, Christine.
What do you think I imagine on like, a daily basis?
What do you think my vision board is for the afterlife? Yeah. No,
but
so
that is
it's
wild.
Also kind of a sad story because that means he was watching basically
being taken
the recreation of a drunk man not knowing where he's going, getting dragged
I
into
wonder
the tunnel.
If that's why the energy of it was so like strong.
So strong, yeah.
That's fucked up.
But so he apparently saw a ghost man that was definitely drunk getting carried out by two
How
other sober
terrifying.
Men.
Terrifying.
He was carried through the basement, across the room, and then through the blocked up wall, which means he was getting dragged through the tunnel.
Through the tunnel.
A waitress also went down to the basement, and she said she felt very dizzy and sick to her stomach, and she couldn't stop feeling sick, so she went back upstairs. Whenever she went to work after that day, just walking into the main room, she would feel that sick again.
Oh, no.
Apparently, a psychic went into the restaurant and didn't know her story, but found her and said that there are entities here, and they are punishing you for snooping around the tunnel.
Oh, man, that's creepy because that means they're, like, aware.
They're aware of what's happening.
That creeps me out so much.
The paranormal ghost hunters of North Georgia, there was an investigator during one of their lockdowns that felt something try to take his flashlight out of his pocket. He said he could feel it getting pulled out, and he thought one of the other investigators was pulling a prank on him. He turned around and no one was there, but he could feel the flashlight still getting pulled out of his pocket.
Oh, God.
He grabbed the flashlight right before it would have fallen to the ground, and his hand became colder and colder until the flashlight felt frozen.
Ugh.
Another angry sailor ghost stares at you from the bottom of the stairs up while you're standing on the second floor.
No.
Which is just the most intimidating.
No, I don't like that at all.
Because then you're trapped upstairs, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Chairs in only one section of the restaurant get rearranged every night, and staff have heard them moving from other rooms.
How irritating would that be if you work there?
Imagine if you just cleaned all of the tables and all of the chairs and all, and then you go into another room and you can hear chairs dragging across the floor.
And you're like new there and you're like, my boss is just going to be pissed that I didn't do it.
Oh, how irritating.
When staff are working alone, they report feeling several people are watching them. Some say that the feeling is so strong it leaves them paralyzed and they can feel breath on the side of their face.
Ugh.
Many have said that a seaman has been standing in front of them staring at them and then fades away. A lot of people have also seen the apparition of a sailor standing next to them shoulder to shoulder so they can just feel someone press, like leaning against them.
Yeah.
Apparently, this sailor, they can also smell liquor on his breath.
Oh, God.
There are footsteps of sailor boots against plank floors, so you can hear, like, their feet dragging.
Right.
You can also hear sailor shanties being sung from the basement and upstairs when nobody is there.
Fun.
I love hearing grown men chanting when I'm alone.
Oh, my favorite.
People walking past the house have reported seeing people in 18th century garb walking up through the rooms upstairs. It's like they look into the window and see, like, people in 18th century clothes walking around. And no one's up there.
Blah.
People have heard tables falling over as if they got, like, flipped over.
God, these are, like, some really aggressive ghosts.
And then they go into the room and nothing's actually been touched.
Oh,
that's
so
they just hear the sounds of it. You can smell cigar smoke in the restaurant area, even though smoking's no longer allowed. And people have heard men in the basement say, "Where am I?" As in, like, the unconscious ones.
Oh, fuck. See, yeah. That's so messed up.
They have also heard other voices. They've heard multiple men's voices saying, "Grab him by the feet." And then you can
hear... Holy shit.
And then you can hear heavy dragging down the stairs.
Holy shit.
Like they're dragging a body down the stairs.
I'm going to be honest. I just keep thinking, like, if they were doing this to grown men, like, sorry, what were they doing to women? Like, how horrifying that it's so easy for them to just, like, do this and drag them to other countries. Anyway.
Jesus.
Continue.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Okay. Guests at the restaurant have seen other guests... This is the wild one.
Yeah.
Guests at the restaurant, you and me at a restaurant, have seen... guests at other tables dressed from another time period, eating from period plates and food that is not on the menu.
And they're like, "I'll have what she's having." And everyone's like, it's not a funny joke.
They will double take and look back to see a present day dressed family.
Oh, so they like replace.
Yeah.
Ew.
Sometimes they will look back and nobody's there at all. And nobody has disturbed the table or the present day plateware.
That is creepy.
So they'll just, like, all of a sudden hallucinate.
I just want to know what they're eating.
Like a time travel. I just want to know what the turkey leg's about.
I just want to know.
Staff also will come in early to prep for the day or when they're closing. So either beginning or end of the night. They will hear people in the dining rooms as if someone came in before the place is open. And they'll go in and nobody's in there. But they can still hear multiple men having conversations with each other. There are electrical surgeries.
Please,
there,
no.
No.
None
there
of that.
Are electrical surges and new equipment or new equipment will not work. EVPs have included, "Who are you?
Mm-mm.
What are you wearing? And can you hear me yet?"
Yet? Oh, God. That is so creepy, Em.
One time, a staff member said that all the electronics turned on by themselves, some of which were unplugged or not working beforehand. Staff have also said that they have looked out into the restaurant and it looked like it was packed, and then they blink and half the people have vanished. Staff will go upstairs to tell patrons that they cannot be up there, but then they realize that nobody had actually gone upstairs. They just followed an apparition. Menus will go missing, cups will move themselves from shelf to shelf, and you can still hear jazz music from upstairs where the club used to be.
Well, that's kind of nice.
There are sounds of glasses falling from the bar and hitting the ground.
Oh.
When nothing has actually happened and there's no shattered glass and none of the cups are missing. And Same with the sounds of bar stools dragging across the floor. There is the sound of a man loudly slurring his words and just very drunk.
Okay.
And the sounds of a person heavily and drunkenly staggering from one side of the room to the other.
Oh. And you're like, you don't know where to dodge it.
Yeah, you just hear a drunk man
coming towards you.
And that's it.
Ah, that ends on the staggering drunk man.
Yeah.
How creepy. What's it called again?
The Pirate House.
In Savannah. Wow. You know, Eva posted the road trip bucket list today that we're doing. We got some Savannahs on there, and I was like,
I know. One day we'll be able to do that.
I would love to do that.
It's just an idea for now, but fingers crossed.
It's a vision board.
It is. It's a haunted vision board.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically, I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. Any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
All right. I hope you enjoyed those commercials. They were really good and helpful to the world.
Yeah.
We're doing the Lord's work. This, oh. Yep.
Okay.
Lord Byron's work.
Okay.
Okay. I'm so hot. I feel like I'm having a fever dream. Okay.
I think she is, Eva.
This is the story of the disappearance of Shannon Matthews.
Okay. I don't know her.
Great. So, this takes place in Dewsbury, West Yorkshire, England.
Okay.
In 2008.
Ooh, 10 recent. Years ago. Recent. Yep. Uh-oh.
On February 19th, 2008, 9-year-old Shannon Matthews begins the half-mile trek from school to her house. And that day was actually a really exciting day for her because at school they had their first swim practice ever. And she was in year four, and they had their first swim practice. And so she'd been looking forward to this day for ages. So she had just gotten out of swim practice, and she was about to walk home from school. But unfortunately, she never arrived at home.
Oh.
That evening, around 6:48 p.m., her mother, 32-year-old Karen Matthews, called the police to report Shannon missing. So the West Yorkshire Police instigated, after, you know, asking her questions and kind of making sure this wasn't a normal behavior, they instigated a 200-person search for Shannon, led by Detective Superintendent Andy Brennan.
All in all, police questioned 1,500 motorists and searched 3,000 houses, and by March 5th, a couple weeks later, more than 250 officers and 60 detectives were involved in the investigation, making it the largest police investigation since the Yorkshire Ripper case 30 years earlier.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. So, literally since the 70s, they had not had such a big... They actually utilized 10% of the entire local, regional police force just on this case alone.
Oh.
Like, completely dedicated to this case.
Okay, cool.
And it cost... But yeah, it cost approximately £3.2 million, the whole investigation. So the newspaper The Sun offered a reward of £20,000. I wrote...
What happened?
I wrote LB's pounds.
Well, I probably weigh that much.
Oh my god, I'm such a dumbass. I think I was too lazy to find, like, the pound symbol.
Yeah.
And I was too lazy to write pounds.
I thought you were laughing at, like, the fact that this was in, like, European currency, because I was like...
ha-ha, pounds?
No. Like, ha-ha, it's not in dollars.
I just realized I wrote LBs, like...
I mean, that's how I probably would have done it, too, if we're being honest. So.
I just was like, that looks weird for some reason. Okay.
You read it pretty fluently, though.
Yeah, like... I was like, yeah, 20,000 pounds, but that's not right. Okay, yes. Yeah, so, the money, not the weight. Mm. 20,000 pounds is not quite a reward if you're talking LBs, as far as I'm concerned. So, they offered a reward of 20,000 pounds for information leading to Shannon's safe return, and after 20 days of her still being missing, they increased the reward to 50,000 pounds. So the search was actually compared to the disappearance of Madeline McCann. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the girl who was also from England, but she had been on a trip to Portugal and been taken from her room in the resort. And that had happened a few years earlier, and it's still an unsolved case. But that case got a lot more attention. So people were kind of criticizing the media for not giving this case as much attention and notice. Because basically Madeline McCann's family was like, wealthy, and you know, she was like a really cute girl, and so they were kind of saying, well, you're not treating this equally. So the Independent, the newspaper, basically said, quote, Kate and Jerry McCann, who were Madeline's parents, had a lot. They were a couple of nice middle-class doctors on holiday in an upscale resort. Karen Matthews, the mother of Shannon, is not as elegant nor as eloquent, which is why they were saying they didn't get as much media
attention.
They're
being like classist almost.
Yeah. So anyway, Shannon's mother, Karen, is basically frantic. It's been 3 weeks since Shannon, her daughter, went missing. She's leading her own search parties, like making t-shirts, rallying the neighbors, rallying her friends and family. There are these campaigns, and yet some people just couldn't get on board and felt like something was off.
Oh boy.
So people started to grow suspicious about Karen's odd behavior, including the family liaison officer who was assigned to the case. And her name was, get ready, Detective Constable Christine Freeman.
Okay, well...
I know, it went right to my head.
I know. Quite elegant.
I'm just like...
I think really you can just put constable in front of anything.
Constable!
To anyone in America, they're like, wow, constable.
Scotland Yard, you know, it's just like, it has a ring to it.
Yeah.
If I were constable, I want to be that for Halloween, Constable Christine.
Okay, well, I'm going to be Captain America, so...
Captain America. Right. Okay, Detective Constable Christine Schieffer. Anyway... In an interview with The Telegraph in 2017, I'm just going to call her Christine.
Christine. Just call her yourself. Just use it in the first person.
I recalled. No. In 2017, Christine Freeman recalled that she felt something was odd from the start. So when she first got to the house, to Karen's house, Karen and her boyfriend, Craig Meehan, were playing Xbox. And while Christine was trying to, like, interview them to be like, your daughter disappeared yesterday or whatever, she wouldn't, like, look up from her game.
Hmm.
Like, she was like...
Sounds like that fucking date I went on in Santa Clarita. God damn.
What?
Remember homegirl who, like, played Pokemon Go for 3 hours?
Oh, right, yeah.
And then I was like, oh, so tell me about yourself. And she was like, can you not talk? I get distracted.
I gotta catch them all, M.
And I was like, okay, well, can I go home?
Can I please leave?
I was like, can I please go home?
So she pulled at that person.
Got it.
And she, like, wouldn't look up, wouldn't talk about, didn't seem, like, distressed or anything. And after a few minutes, Christine's phone rang, and it was, like, a pop song. You know, remember back in the day when, like, everyone had, like, Daddy Yankee or some shit as their ringtone?
Mine was Laffy Taffy.
Of course it was. Of course it was. No comment. Mine was like some fucking indie shit, like Cold War Kids.
Oh my god!
Actually, it definitely wasn't. I'm pretending like I don't know.
It was Fall Out Boy. It was Fall Out Boy.
It was Cold War Kids for like six straight years.
Oh wow! Yep. Okay.
So her song, her phone rings. It was a pop song, and then Karen stops playing Xbox, gets up, and just starts dancing to this like ringtone, like a crazy person.
Got it. Okay.
Yep. And by the way, her fucking daughter's missing. So, in addition to Christine, this detective, Karen's close friend also began to doubt her and said that Karen came to her house and anytime there was no police or cameras around, she would turn back into her normal happy self and like just like put around and like clean and act as if like her daughter was just at a friend's house, not like actually missing. Okay. And she was like, something was off. I just didn't know what. So she said she remembers one time Karen wanted to watch the news. So they turned the news on. And Shannon, her daughter's picture, came on the TV. And the friend's oldest daughter said, I can't wait for Shannon to come home. And then this woman, the friend, what's her name again? Oh, I didn't say it. Okay, I think her name is Nicole. Okay.
Her name was Em. I get it.
Em. It's not important what her name was.
Yeah.
So she said to her daughter, she was like trying to be honest and straightforward, and she said to her daughter, well, it's not guaranteed she's going to come home, so we need to prepare ourselves if that happens. And Karen turns to her. Oh, it was Natalie. Okay. Sorry, the friend's name was Natalie.
Okay.
Karen turns to her friend and says, look, she's famous now. She's on TV. Don't worry, she's coming home. And they were like, what the f-? And Natalie had been her best friend since they were like children. Like they had been friends for decades, and she was like, she was just acting so weird, and I kept saying like, if there's anything you need to tell me, you can tell me. So another thing, the police advised Karen not to speak to the press, but she spoke to them constantly despite being warned that it could put her daughter's life at risk. So they were like, sometimes in cases like this, if you talk to the media, it is more likely for your child to be killed.
Right.
And her friend was like, you can't go out there. She was at her friend's house and at Natalie's house. Natalie was like, you can't go out there and talk to them. And she just waltzed right out and was like talking to every camera, every reporter.
She was acting really distraught, though, to the camera.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, exactly. So Natalie was furious that she was just like, I'm going to do it anyway, despite being begged not to. And she said there was even weirder behavior. So Karen came downstairs for the interview with the press holding a teddy bear. And Natalie asked, oh, is that Shannon's? Karen shrugged and said, I don't know. And then walked outside to talk to the cameras.
Oh my
god. She was like, this is so wild. So she's on camera. She's like,
how does Natalie not feel safe?
Natalie's just like, something is fucking up.
I'd be like, I need to get out of this house before she fucking kills me and then pretends that some random teddy bear's mine.
And takes a teddy bear. And so she's on TV with this teddy bear that's not even her daughter's, crying and saying she misses her. Please bring back my missing princess daughter. And Natalie was like, she's literally never said that. Like, she must have been told to say that. Like, it was completely out of nowhere. She's just acting totally whacked out. Like, none of this makes any sort of sense. So fast forward a little bit. On March 14th, 2008, so this is 24 days after Shannon's disappearance, so a little over 3 weeks, about 3.5 weeks, police receive a tip from a public citizen saying, please check out this flat that's above me. And they go to this apartment, and they find Shannon Matthews inside the apartment, hidden in the base of a double bed. She's crying, frightened, and drugged, but she is alive.
Oh, my God.
And she is in this bed being hidden at a house owned by a man named Michael Donovan, who just so happens to be Karen's boyfriend, Craig's uncle.
There it is.
Yep. So Michael Donovan, so Shannon, the girl who's missing, her step
uncle.
Uncle, exactly. Or no, her
boyfriend's uncle.
No, Shannon's the girl who's missing. So yeah, it's so her Karen's stepfather's.
Well, it's just the boyfriend. Are they married? Is Karen and her boyfriend married?
No.
So just her mom's boyfriend's uncle.
Yes, that's it. Whatever that means.
Really turning this into algebra.
Sorry. Wow. Math is not my, okay. This isn't even math. I just can't even.
It's just hot. It's just hot.
It's just
really hot.
My brain just is so.
We should buy AC.
Oh, help me. Patreon. Okay.
Eva, buy us a Dyson fan.
Eva? Okay. Michael Donovan, he's 39 years old. He has some learning difficulties. He has a really low IQ, about half the national average. It turns out he had been keeping Shannon hostage for 24 days.
She had been tied to the bed. Keep in mind, she's nine years old. So she had been lured to his house by being told that she was going to go on a vacation to the seaside. And she had been tied to the bed with an elastic strap coming from the ceiling that had a noose at the end. Oh. And she was drugged with sedatives to keep her quiet every now and then. And then the rope was long enough so that she could just barely reach the toilet if she needed to use it. But she couldn't go anywhere else, just from the bed to the toilet. When police did further testing, they discovered that she had actually been drugged for up to almost 2 years before her disappearance. So they'd been regularly, her mother had been regularly drugging her. When the police picked Shannon up from the house, she was totally oblivious to the situation. She was just crying and was like, I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. She had no idea that there was a search for her. Like, she did not know. And I actually found a photo. It's a copy of the list of rules that Michael had imposed on her.
Oh, God.
Like, on a yellowed piece of paper. And they say, rules. You must not make any noise or bang your feet. You must not go near the windows. You must not get anything or do anything without me been there. Keep the TV volume low, only up to 8 or lower. You can play the Super Mario games, and you can play some DVDs, and you can play the CD music. IPU. And apparently IPU was something her mother used to threaten her with, which, and it stands for I promise you, as in, like, I promise you, like, I mean it, basically. Like, I mean what I say.
Yeah.
And here's a photo. This is, like, the little bed, creepy bunk bed she was being tied to.
Oh, shit.
I believe there was a mattress on it, but they took it away for, like, forensic testing. And then down here, you can see the rope that it's, like, an elastic rope that was tied to the ceiling. And the person stretched it out, and it, like, just reached the toilet to make sure that she could reach the toilet. And it was, like, tied around her. Really fucked up. So they arrest Michael Donovan, obviously. It's his apartment. Charge him with kidnapping and false imprisonment. And during the interrogation, he yells, quote, get Karen down here. We'd got a plan. We're sharing the money. 50,000 pounds.
She's the pound sign again.
Yeah. LBs. Mm-hmm. 50,000 LBs.
At least you didn't go retro and make it the hashtag, because that used to be pound sign, guys.
That's right. But then I would have said 50,000 numbers. I'm so confused.
50,000 hashtags?
Hashtag 50,000. Yeah, I would.
Yeah, to the people younger than us, a hashtag actually used to be called a pound sign.
It used to be a pound sign. That's
it's actually called an octothorpe. Fun fact.
Oh, God, you're just blowing my mind today.
Because all the points...
But they do say on the phone, they do say, and then hit pound. So they still say it on the phone. Like, okay. Type in your number and then hit pound.
All right.
Hopefully hit the pound
key. Hopefully they're not like, what's pound?
Pound.
It's like, it's hashtag. Hit the hashtag button.
Then hit hashtag. Okay. That's when Karen herself was arrested, because he literally said, we had a plan. We're sharing the money. You know.
Yeah.
Just threw her under the bus. So on April 8th, 2008, Karen is charged with child neglect and perverting the course of justice. Turns out she and her boyfriend's uncle, Michael Donovan, just the two of them, had devised a plot to have Shannon fake kidnapped so they could reap the financial reward.
Oh, God. Okay.
So it's thought that here's the plan. Karen and Michael had plotted to release Shannon after a while, and then to have Michael discover her at a local market, take her to the police station, and claim the reward.
As oh, my
if
God.
They wouldn't be like, but you're the uncle.
And also, why, I mean, obviously they're not right in the head, but my different level of morality makes me think, why couldn't they just, like, have her hanging out in that house for 3 weeks, like, not on a rope, like, watching TV, and, like, why'd she have to go through, why'd she have to be sedated and put on, like, a rope?
Probably because she was there for 3 weeks, and...
Couldn't she just, like, hang out and have a three-week sleepover vacation, and then
yeah, they
could find her at the gas
station? Neighbors knowing she was there. Like, they didn't want her near a window in case people went looking.
But then just, like, close the door. Like, I don't know.
I mean, the reason she was found is because a neighbor said, I hear little kid footsteps, and there's never even been a kid in that apartment. So they just felt sketched out and called the police. So even just the footsteps alone to the bathroom and back, like, tipped off a neighbor. So I think they were super...
What an observant neighbor, by the
way. I know. That blew me away. I was like, how could they possibly... But they said, like, there's never been a child there, and this guy, like, doesn't have kids. And, like, suddenly I'm hearing footsteps... Like, kids' footsteps.
But also, yeah.
Day in, day out.
The fan.
Whoops. Yep. That scared me. I thought it was a ghost.
I thought it was, too. Anyway, moving on.
Walt is mad you drank all the LaCroix. Okay. Where are we?
We were at the LB pound sign.
That's everywhere on this. I don't know where to go. Okay, so obviously not a great plan that, like, the mother of the missing girl is like, well, I guess I should get my reward now. You know, like, it's just really insanely stupid. Clearly not a foolproof plan. So during Karen's interrogation, she admits that she called 999. You know what that is.
999?
Yeah.
Information? I don't know what 999. 411?
No, friend.
Star 67.
We're in England, so it's 911, but...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Okay, so...
Okay, 999 is 911. Got it.
So she calls 999 as part information.
as hello, operator. Fresh, operator, I'm using fresh. The hashtag. Where are you?
Hit the hashtag sign, number, whatever. Okay. During her interrogation, Karen admits that she called 999 as part of an act to make it look like Shannon was missing, despite knowing she wasn't actually missing. So she fully admits that she knew she wasn't missing. Okay. Here's the... I mean, it's all fucked up, but here's another fucked up thing. Karen had 7 children from 5 different men.
Wow.
She picked Shannon to be the one to be fake kidnapped because she was a girl and the most photogenic and thought that that would maximize the financial reward.
Good to know.
Cute. So detectives think that she had already settled the idea of staging a kidnapping after seeing how much money poured into the Madeline McCann Fund, which was the girl I mentioned earlier who was taken from Portugal. And it happened in like 2003, I think. So like 5 years earlier, she'd already been like, kind of inspired to do this.
So she was like, oh, that's the amount I'm looking for. That's like a goal.
Oh, they're raising millions of dollars. Like, I could get on this. But they also think she may have copied some of the details from a plot in the TV show Shameless, which is, by the way, a great TV show.
Great.
So that's awesome. Cute. Yeah, great. So the trial took place at Leeds Crown Court in December 2008, and both Karen and Michael were sentenced to 8 years imprisonment.
Each?
Each 8 years.
Okay.
Karen only served 4 years and is thought to have earned money during her time in prison by writing dirty letters to male pen pals outside of prison who would send cash in exchange for the notes. Oh. She's just a winner.
She's an entrepreneur is what I'm hearing. So.
Not like a really bright one, though.
Not a good one and not one with ethics at all.
Right, sure.
But she's definitely made it clear to all of us she's here for a buck.
She's here for a buck, hasn't gotten it yet, but, you know, maybe someday.
And doesn't deserve it either.
Doesn't deserve it. Probably will never get it. But, like, you're trying.
A for effort.
A for effort. Upon her release, Karen changed her identity and moved to the other side of the country. She is thought to have turned to Christianity.
Oh, my God. Okay.
She claims she is completely innocent of the plot, knew nothing about it, and insists, quote, I'm not Britain's worst mom. I didn't kill anybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
True. I guess you have some point, kind of.
We're so proud of you for that, by the way.
Thank you for not killing your child. That must have been really hard for you.
I mean, I feel like you're really
so brave of you to come forward about that.
Yes, proving yourself. Thank you for sharing your story. After Shannon was rescued, she was taken into government custody before being given a new identity and a new family. Karen had 7 children. Karen, the mom, had 7 children with 5 different men, as I mentioned.
Yeah.
All of those children were put into separate custody setup, so they were all put into different care into different family care units and given new identities, which is just so fucked up. That, like,
so sad. And then they had to hear that their mom was like, well, you weren't photogenic enough. I'd be like, thank God I was ugly.
Yeah,
thank God
I picked one of your prettier siblings. And like,
well, like, it benefited me.
While she was being interviewed, like, she would like say the wrong, they'd be like, how many children do you have? And she'd be like, 6. No, wait, 7. And they were like, girl, come on.
Is it just a blur after
she
the third
like,
one?
She gave no shit about her kids at all. It's like really sad. And she just treated them very, very poorly. I actually was like listening to the case file episode on this to get some more information. And I guess they found scribbled. So Shannon had a bedroom. It had like pink peeling wallpaper. And she shared it with her 2.5-year-old stepsister. And in one of the like ripping pieces of paper, she just wrote, I want to live with my dad. I want to live with my dad. Aww. Like, it was just really sad. And I guess her mom would just scream at her. Like, the day that she went missing, her mom screamed at her and basically said, like, never come back.
Shit.
When she went to school and she was 9. So, like, she was just in a really terrible...
And why was Natalie still friends with this woman?
You know, who knows?
That's the question of the year.
Who knows? Apparently she is not anymore. So Craig, her boyfriend, Craig Meehan, although he apparently was truly not involved in the kidnap plot, his uncle was, and she was, and apparently they didn't loop him in on it.
He's probably a good person. And they're like, oh, he'll ruin it for us.
He was later found to have been in possession of child pornography.
Never mind.
I love when M's just like, this is what it is. And then I'm like, lol, here we go. He was found to be in possession of like 185 photos or videos or something fucked up of child pornography and was sentenced to 20 weeks in prison.
20 weeks.
But he was released on the same day. On that day, he didn't actually go to prison because he had spent longer on remand than the length of the sentence.
Oh, my.
So the child pornography was not thought to be related to the Shane and Matthews case, but he went into hiding anyway following the charges, and he was actually spotted out in public for the first time like a year or two ago, reportedly seen buying beer and scratch cards before retreating into a bookies, which my coworker, my office mate Joanna, I was like, what's a bookies? And she laughed at me for like 10 minutes. And she's like, it's like a betting shop, like a gambling shop, which I sort of figured, but like, we don't have those here. But you basically go in and like bet on horses and shit, you know. That I just invented the horses thing, but I imagine
no, a bookie, that's like what,
but it's like
we do have that. It's like, I just don't think we have it the same way anymore.
Yeah, but it's like a store, like they, it's like a legal like a store, like
I'm used to a bookie being a person.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, like a bookie. But a bookies is like a gambling place. a betting store.
Oh, okay.
So Michael Donovan, the uncle who had strapped her down, kidnapped her, whatever, he was released in 2012 after serving only 4 years of his sentence. Little is currently known of his whereabouts. And Shannon herself is now a 19-year-old woman. But there's a court order preventing anyone from contacting her or knowing her true identity because she was given a new identity. And the court protects children who've been through something like this from, like, being hounded by the press.
Right.
But there's no shortage of people just, like, running around the country trying to find anyone who looks like her and just, like, harassing them and taking photos. Yeah, so
if you're one of those people, fucking like, stop.
Fuck you. So, unsurprisingly, she is not believed to have seen her mother since, but the most fucked up, like, sad part is that she was extremely close with her grandparents who basically, like, raised her because her parents
and she got separated.
Were so fucked up, and they have not been able to like speak to her ever since she disappeared, basically since she was 9. And I guess her grandfather has gotten just like extremely sick, has lost like 20-30 pounds, has been in and out of the hospital of like sickness and stress, and they have basically said like all we want is to like talk to her one more time. So recently Shannon's grandfather Gordon revealed his heartache over what happened, describing how it's affected his health, how he longs for his granddaughter to get in touch. And at the moment he and his wife June, so her grandmother, are occasionally kept informed by social services, but otherwise they have no contact with her. And recently they saw a picture of her nearly a decade after they had last seen her. So like,
yeah,
she's 19. So the last time they'd ever seen her was when she was 9.
Yeah.
And they said she looked beautiful and they were just heartbroken. And then her grandfather said, my one wish is that when she's old enough to understand what happened properly, she'll come and knock on that door. But I fear it'll be too late and I won't be here to see her. I'll be up there in heaven looking down on her. And recently the BBC screened a drama called The Moorside, which was like kind of controversial. It was sort of like a dramatization of this whole case. And some people were like, well, that's fucked up. And some people were like, yeah, it is fucked up because that's what they did. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. So it's about Shannon's kidnapping, and it's kind of, like, debated how, like, on point it is, but it's supposed to be a pretty good representation of what happened. And as of now, we don't really know much about the whereabouts of Shannon herself, but I hope she's doing well, and I hope she has been able to move on from her crazy
life.
Crazy life and childhood.
Yowza.
And that is the story of Shannon Matthews.
That was a good one.
Just blew right through that.
No. Maybe it needs to always be hot in here, so we just fly through things.
Maybe. That's all I got for you.
All right. I mean, that was a good one. I'm also scared to go home because of my story, because of the ghosts and someone pulling me out of bed and the homeless person.
Oh, no.
So I'll also be thinking about potentially getting kidnapped.
Do you have AC at home?
Oh, yeah. That's like...
Oh, fuck you. Okay, can I come over?
Yeah. By the way, Christine still has not come to my house.
I've never been to M's house.
Not even a little bit. No. And I've lived there for going on 2 years.
Nope, never been.
But I'm getting the hell out. Really?
Yeah, when?
At the end of the year. I'm going to move in with RJ again.
Oh, and somewhere else?
Yeah, what?
Oh, yeah, right. We're going to find out. RJ's going too. Okay.
Well, I learned that I'm like very good at recycling... my roommates, because like when we first moved out here, I lived with our friend Christine,
right?
And then we lived in different places for a while, and then now we live together again.
That's true.
And she took RJ's spot, and now I'm gonna go live with RJ again.
I feel like that's good though, because it means you're like good at finding people you like are compatible with.
Yes. But yeah, so I'm gonna go.
Do you know what part of town you're gonna live in? Can we triangulate that real quick? Are you gonna be close to me?
I will say it's within. It's if you were to look at a Google map,
mm-hmm.
it will be, if you were to draw a circle, I'm just going to tell you the points, because we found like our outlying cities that we're willing to look at. But okay. It will be Montrose, Altadena, Pasadena, like Highland Park, Echo Park area, and then Los Feliz to Luca Lake, North Hollywood, and then North Hollywood to,
okay.
to so Montrose. Just like, it's like a big giant
basically
circle.
Northeast.
Anything, LA. Anything in that giant circle. That's a perfect circle, by the way, because I've actually drawn it on the map. So,
but that's just northeast LA, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, but go to the southern part of that, because otherwise, Altadena is too far.
Well, we tried to find worst case scenario, like a distance between your house and Allison's job. So it'll be like worst case scenario. That's like a 40-minute drive.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
But that's like also worst case outliers. We're trying for like Burbank, Glendale.
Okay, I guess I guess I could live with that.
But yeah, so anyway, I'm nervous to go home. Thank you for telling me a scary story.
You're welcome. I have something to ease your mind.
A geoscope?
I sure do. Okay. Please hold. All right, here's the horoscope for Scorpios. The Scorpioscope. What do we call it? Geoscope.
Geoscorpioscope. I don't know.
Oh, so many syllables. Okay. Oh my God, tomorrow's Friday the 13th, guys.
Eva and I, you reacted the exact opposite way. Eva was like, cowabunga, dude. And I was like, oh boy.
You like Friday the 13th, Eva?
Well, I usually like it, but not when Mercury's in retrograde. That's just like a double mess.
I'm just hoping it like cancels it out, though.
Okay.
It probably won't. It'll just probably fuck shit up.
Maybe two wrongs make a right.
Probably not.
Who knows? Eva, let us
know. Eva, why do you like Friday the 13th?
I just really like the movie.
Oh, the movie. The other day, I was like 9,000 degrees out, and I was at fucking Walmart during my lunch break because I accidentally bleached our bath mat and I had to buy a new one. It doesn't matter. It's a long story. My dad is visiting and he's very picky, and I was like, well, he needs a bath mat or else he'll bitch till the end of time. So I ran to Walmart on my lunch break in Burbank, and I'm like trying to buy a fucking, they're like $25 at Walmart, and I'm like, I just want a towel for the floor. I don't need a towel. So I'm just like, so hot and just staring at this thing, and this small child runs up to me with a DVD and like smacks me in the leg with it and goes, it's Friday the 13th. And I'm like, what the I mean, he's literally
Eva's child.
Three. He's like so small he can barely speak, and I look down at him expecting to be like, oh hello, you're cute. No, he's a fucking demon, and he's holding this Friday the 13th movie, and he keeps like smacking me with it, and his mom just like doesn't give a shit. And I'm like, this is literally Walmart. Like, this is a stereotype of Walmart.
This is such a Walmart
moment.
The
small child is smacking me with a fucking Friday the 13th movie and yelling about it in my face. And I'm just like, I made this like horrible, like old person face of like, get off my lawn. Like, get out of my towel aisle. Like, I was just so irritated. And he wouldn't go away. And I kept having to like back away from him. And so now I just hate Friday the 13th because that child
because
ruined
the it. Exact moment only a couple days ago.
Anyway, I don't really know. I
like Friday the 13th in that I like kind of feeling like I'm relatively close to October and Halloween.
That's fair.
But that's about it.
I don't because I don't know. Because I don't know anything about it. And a kid hit me really hard in the leg. All right. I'm going to read this Friday the 13th Scorpioscope for Geo. Oh, my God. It starts with a great word. Blaze.
Aww.
Blaze those trails, Scorpio.
Aww.
Blaze would be so proud. With the moon leveling up in your leadership zone, people may turn to you as the final word on a group decision. We do really do trust you with all the final decisions of the podcast.
Especially the financial ones.
Only.
I mean, there's no one else we can trust.
Actually, Em and I don't even look at the financials. We just let Gio handle
it. No, Gio's in charge of QuickBooks.
Yeah,
actually,
that's right. So. It's called,
don't do this.
Paw books.
What the hell?
It
like,
is
not like quick barks
so
or
hot.
Anything.
Fuck you, paw. Quick paw. Whatever. Whatever you said. Quick bark.
Quick barks.
God.
Quick woofs.
All right. I'm done. You don't need to show off, okay? anyway, with your keen sense of what's cool... Oh, God.
Here I am.
Not to mention culturally ahead of the curve.
Again.
Always giving him such a fucking big head, I swear to God. This is your opportunity to share your discoveries of late. Along with implementing new procedures at work, you could introduce your squad to an amazing indie band.
The Geo Trio, that's us! Oh, our squad.
Amazing indie band, a local rapper, or an understated... but insanely authentic restaurant. What the fuck? That specializes in foreign cuisine.
It's that dog bakery I saw over there on 3rd.
On La Brea. Yeah. Last sentence. Go nouveau, Scorpio. This Go makes nouveau. Me want to die. This is horrifying.
That's
what
like
is
the
this?
Most geoscope I've ever
this
seen.
This is like if Geo were a human and was like smacking on the keyboard like... Let's talk about how
it's great like his
I am.
Butt curtain just brushed the keys oh, and it yeah. spelled that out. Just it's like my squad, my Geo Trio.
I will teach my squad what is cool because they do not. They clearly do not know about the local rap artist that I know about. What the?
Yeah, his name's Lil G.
Lil G.
Baby
like
G.
Snoop Dogg. Okay, I'm sorry. I just go so I can stop.
Okay, you can find us at. ATWWD podcast on our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon. Please help us donate. You don't realize what that money does. It's you just please keep doing it.
We're always like, you don't realize it. We won't tell you.
It's like if we were to explain it, that would be its own episode. It's just a lot of stuff that behind
I mean,
the
it
scenes
helps
you
us
don't
make
realize.
This podcast.
There's a lot of dynamics that are not noticed right away.
Sure.
That you're helping us with. You can also find our website and that's where we drink. .com. You can also find our shop and that's why we drink.bigcartel.com. You can also find our webs or our email and that's why we drink at gmail.com where you can send in your personal true crime and ghost stories. If you send us your personal true crime and ghost stories, we do a listeners episode at the first of every month. You can also send us your goodies and your mail that we would like to open on a camera for you. Our post office box is 1920 Hillhurst Ave, number 265, Los Angeles, 90027. And if you send us your goodies and your mail and your snacks or whatever it is you would like to send us, which we are always grateful for, we have a fan mail video that we do every month.
And it's on Patreon, so if you're on Patreon, you can watch it. If you did send us something and you want to watch the video but you're not on Patreon, like let us know and we'll just send you the link because we want you to be able to see it too. Like see us open your
yes.
gift. Also, just real quick, if you go on our website and that's where you drink.com and hit tour, you can see all our upcoming tour dates. We have several cities that are coming up and we're adding more pretty regularly.
And you can also catch us on the 22nd at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our Facebook
yes,
Live.
Yes, that's right.
Please come spend time with us and ask us questions. Otherwise, we're just talking heads and we are nervous and don't know how to interact
nobody
with a computer
wants,
screen.
Nobody wants that.
So please come with your questions and fair questions because, wow, we don't want to have to answer something awkward live.
Oh, God.
And that's it.
That's all we got, guys. Thank you for listening, and thank you for being you and so supportive of us and for helping us make this possible.
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Clink.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.